Welcome to Are You Real? Finding the Authentic You, the podcast that focuses on Christians that are active in everyday life. Join in as we speak to everyone from successful business owners to educators to athletes about their faith and how it helps them reach out and revolutionize those around them to do the same. And now get ready to roar with your host, the voice of manifestation, John Fuller.
Hey, Roar Nation, John Fuller here. Welcome to episode 24. And do I have something out of the box and totally different than what we normally do? So this last week, I got invited to speak at a conference called Enkindle Conference. It was a prayer and worship conference held in Amarillo, Texas. It was their second annual conference. And we had people fly in from Michigan, California, South Carolina, and came in from Oklahoma and different parts of Texas. We just absolutely had a phenomenal time. If you get a chance, in past episodes, I did interview Christy Austin with Enkindle. It is a phenomenal ministry that travels and goes all over the United States. So anyways, what I talked about, I got to close out the conference on Saturday talking about purpose, what that looks like, and why we should fulfill our God-given purpose. So anyways, we did have a little bit of trouble with the audio. I hope it comes out better than it did when it started. I know our production crew did a great job cleaning it up. So if there's a couple little hiccups, I apologize. But anyways, I hope it blesses you. I would love to get your feedback on it. So please jump on our Are You Real page on Facebook, leave a message, or do something. Send me an email, but I would love to hear from you. And anyways, without further delay. So this morning, as I was pacing around and listening to you guys talk, I heard people talk about praying for the nation. We talked about schools. We prayed for all these things that God would intervene. Would you agree? So this morning, I'm going to give you the answer to that. It's not going to be the answer that you would typically think. Are you ready? So like every great name, there's a meaning behind it. And if you go back, I don't know if any of you know this or not, and I always wondered when I was a kid growing up, who likes football? Any football fans in here? Okay. Any San Francisco fans? I didn't get a one. That's funny. So I'm actually not a San Francisco fan, but I actually did a little bit of research. So San Francisco what? 49ers. Anybody know why they're the 49ers? Okay. And Bill Rush, 1849. So if you go back to the Gold Rush of 1849, it actually started in 1848 and lasted to 1855. There was a man by the name of R.U. Darby who went out to be part of what was known as the greatest gold rush America had ever seen. Men and women sold everything that they owned to travel across a nation to go to California to be part of this gold rush. And they said that actually, more than half of the people that would show up to California actually came by boat for this great gold rush. So R.U. Darby sold everything that he had, came to California, and during that, he found what was to be known as the greatest vein of gold ever to be mined. So he dug and he blasted and he did everything he could to get into the depths of this gold. And as he started to find it, every day he would get more gold and more gold. And as the more excited he got, he realized what he needed was better equipment. So he went back home. He calls back home. I guess he didn't pick up his cell phone, but he writes a letter back home. He goes back and he says, I need everybody's support. So what he did was, is all his family and friends, he got investors, he collected, he got what needed to be real money, substantial money, to buy the equipment to mine the deepest gold that had ever been known. So he gets the equipment, he goes down, they start digging, and they hit this vein. And they're just producing thousands and thousands of dollars every day.
And before they know it, as quick as he found the gold, the vein stopped. In complete despair, his entire family had invested all the money he had, every penny, everything he had ever had that was invested in this mine had now come to a complete stop. So he found himself at a place of desperation. What do I do? My family's involved in this. I have my life's work in this. Everything that he knew was involved in this, and the gold was gone. So in despair, to recoup some of his money, he went to a junk dealer, and he took his equipment, and a junk dealer of that time and era bought his equipment. And what he did was profound. So he buys his equipment, and he goes back to the mine, and he hires an expert. And the expert goes to the gold mine, and he looks, and at this time, R.U. Darby had already left, and he looks at the mine, he does a little bit of research, he studies, and what he finds was that the ground had shifted, and the vein was 3 feet to the right. That gold vein would be known as the greatest wealth that was ever discovered in California. Could you imagine the despair of knowing that R.U. Darby found to know that he was 3 feet away from the greatest gold mine that would ever be discovered in history? So much like him, things happen to us. We dig, we pound, we ask God, what is our gift? What is our calling? What are we supposed to do? And we do all these things and we struggle and we never find fulfillment because we never go to the expert, Jesus. What we need is we need to find our purpose. We need to find what we were created for. But most people never go to the expert to ask him, what am I created to do? So had you asked me 15 years ago or even 5 years ago, I would have told you that marketplace ministry was something totally different. I would have told you that it looked a lot like Smith Wigglesworth or any of these great men of God going into businesses. That's what I would have told you. But the thing was, is the whole time the Lord was leading me down a path to discover my purpose. And what I've discovered is the whole time I, much like R.U. Darby, was 3 feet away from a revelation. But what that revelation took was, and I did not realize it, was years and years of experience. It's not just catching the revelation of who we are, but it's taking our life circumstances and walking out those revelations and walking out those prophetic words to discover who we are, because it's a process. So many times we hear people, we see people come up on the scene and we're like, oh my gosh, they're an overnight success. Perfect example I'll take is Justin Bieber. So laugh, people love him or hate him, but he's one of the most talented musicians I've ever seen. So he hits the stage and people say, oh my gosh, this kid's amazing. But what you did not see was behind the scenes of the years and the years and the years of practice that he pounded away at drums and he sung and he was singing in places that nobody had ever heard him. Nobody ever heard his name. But he strived because he knew that he had a gift. He took his gift and he became better and better and better and better. And then one day, all of a sudden, everybody discovers him and says, who is this amazing person on the scene? Well, what you did not realize is his 10 years of overnight success. So as I dove into this in my life experience, when I first got saved, I struggled. We bought a business. And what I've always known is I've been an entrepreneur. I've always loved business. I love the concept of making money. It's just fascinated me. I love making money. Now, for some people, that'd be hard, especially coming from a pulpit. People would say, oh, well, that's terrible. The thing is people are wired differently. I love the concept of business. So getting saved and getting excited, I had tons of baggage to work through. And I'm walking through this process of learning to become an entrepreneur, but at the exact same time, God is walking me through the process of my salvation and working through all the years and all the things that I had accumulated bad luggage in my life. And as I was walking through this process, I was so excited. I wanted to share what God had done in my life, the deliverance and the things that he had freed me from, and in the mindset that I used to have that now I was coming into, and all these amazing things that God had done for me. But I had this inward struggle. What do I do with business? And what do I do with ministry? See, in the church growing up, at about the age of 20, all I had ever heard was one or the other. The two didn't go together. That I couldn't do ministry and business. I could have a Bible study. I could serve in church. I could do different things. But the truth was, is God was showing me that the two things that I had always known to be separate were actually one. What I had always heard was that preachers preach and contractors contract. But the truth was, is those two were one. So I dove into God's Word daily. I spent hours and hours consuming every bit of knowledge that I could. I listened to sermons. I got tapes. At the time, there wasn't podcasts, but on that equivalent, I grabbed everything that I could. I remember at one point as my kids were born, we spent probably 4 or 5 days a week in church, consuming everything that I could possibly consume. I don't think there's a story in the Bible you could tell me that I could say I don't know. Because I had a passion to hear God's word, because I knew something deep inside of me needed to know what God had to say. But at the same time, I was constantly digging deep into entrepreneurship and learning what is business, because I knew I had a gift for business and I wanted to know how those went together. So as you can imagine, my inward struggle for years was, how do these go together? How do I minister in business, or how do I separate the two? So the inward struggle that I had for years was, do I have to give up business to go minister? Because I've always heard that, you know, we're all disciples of Christ, that Peter, James, and John, and all these guys gave up their business and they went and ministered. So that's always been taught and preached, that I'm supposed to forget the things that I know and go out and minister the gospel. But something inside of me knew that was not right. I was frustrated. I had this turmoil. What am I supposed to do? Do I give up business, the very thing that I love? Surely that can't be true. So every time that I would reach out, it was funny. When we first started going to this church, the pastor, I was going to get into Bible theology, and I was going to go back to school, and I was going to get my degree. And every time that I went to get what I would call a spiritual father, or I went to get somebody to mentor me, every single time it fell through. I was so frustrated. You can imagine knowing that I have this turmoil in my mind and this frustration of thinking, do I find a mentor, or how do I find somebody in business, or how do I find somebody to instill more of the Word of God in me, and all these things. And every time I would reach out to a man of God, these great men, it felt like at the time rejection. But what God was truly doing was he was saving me. So in our minds, we take it as rejection and we think nobody likes us, but when in fact, the whole time, God was saying, no, you're mine. So as I went through this struggle, this inward struggle, I went into my closet. I said, God, what do I do? Why can I not get a mentor? Why can I, none of these things come to pass? And what God told me very clearly was, I'm your spiritual father. I want you to learn from me. See, it's so easy to have a formula. It's so easy to find somebody and do A, B, and C, and then I can go out and say that somebody taught me or did this, but this is what it took. It took relationship and it took time. What I had to do was go into my quiet time. I had to go into the closet and I had to ask God, God, what are you saying? What do I do about this relationship? What do I do about this business deal? What do I do about these things that you've called me to do? How do I do that? And what's amazing is the entire time God would step in and do the miraculous. And what I love about that is I can never take the credit for what's been done in my life. Because it's been one miracle after another. There's not another man. I have not had a mentor in business or different things. I've read a lot of books. I've studied under people, not directly, but indirectly. But there's not a person that can say, John has achieved this because of me. I can stand before you today and say, I have achieved these things because what God has done for me. The truth was, is I never asked the right questions. The whole time, both things had always been in me. I had always been 3 feet from the gold that God wanted to dig in me because I wasn't asking the right questions. God, what gifts, what abilities, what things have you instilled in me? What have you put in me that you're calling me to go out and change the world? Marketplace revival to me always looked like this. Smith Wigglesworth, I've mentioned before, and other great men of God, D.L. Moody, and different things that would go out and you'd read about these amazing revivals in the 18 and early 1900s, and they would go. And I heard one time of a story of one of these great men of God. They went into a business in a factory. And when he went into this factory, every man and woman fell at their feet. They couldn't even stand in the presence of this godly man because the power of God was so strong. So 10 or 15 years ago, I would have told you that's what marketplace revival looks like. That we get out of these revivals, that we're spiritually charged up, and we go back into the workplace and we share the gospel and we tell all the good things that Jesus has done. But I'm here to tell you today, that's not it. So I want to put a little bit of a different twist on this and a different perspective of what the Lord has shown me. Think about this. How many times have we left church, me specifically, and we get there and somebody says, how was church today? Man, it was great. So what do you talk about? I don't know, but it was great. Have you ever had that? Because you know the emotion, you leave hyped up, you feel great. The emotion is great, but the problem is the message behind the emotion is what we didn't get. We got the emotion. So what we do is we take the emotion into the workplace and we want to just preach and share Jesus. But the truth is nobody wants to hear just the emotion. If you're like me, I want to know why. I want to put rubber to the road. I want action. I want to see results. What the world is waiting for is results. We live in the greatest nation in the world. The majority of people have heard of Jesus. They've heard of the Bible. What people are waiting for is results. They've heard the emotion, but what they need is power. The power, what we have not recognized, is in us. We have the Spirit of God. We were created in God's image. The power is in us to change the workplace. I believe more than ever that God is doing something new. He's always done something fresh. He's always done things for such a time as this. I don't want to discredit what these great men of God have done in the past, because that would be foolish. But the thing is, that was for that time, and God is doing something new in this time. I truly believe that God is raising up Esthers. God is raising up Davids for such a time as this. And that time is to take the gifts and the talents and the things He's done in us to go into the marketplace and change the way business, to change the way work has always been done. Something that really fascinates me is how we get to co-create with God. So go with me for a minute in the aspects of the scripture that comes to my mind. It says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made out of Psalms. I believe it's Psalms 134. And I've always looked at that concept and I've struggled with that scripture and the fact that in my mother's womb, God formed me. So the way I've always looked at that scripture is he gave me my, he made me tall, and he made me dark and handsome. Obviously, he forgot the tall part. But I've always thought of that scripture from standing out and looking in and looking at that as a physical concept. But the truth is, we get to co-create with God. So what that looks like is my parents came together and made me. What I got is I am a byproduct of my parents. I got height and ears and nose and all these different things. So my parents got to create me what you see. But what you don't see is what God created in the womb. God's the one that gave me my gifts and my talents and my strengths. It is God who put me in this great nation that we live in. It's God who gave me my parents. It's God that gave me my gender. What we miss is we are co-creators with God. Just like in the sense of having a child. That just blows my mind, because all the time we always just think it's one or the other, but in fact, we get to do His work. He partners up with us to go do. You tracking with me? So as a byproduct, God put passion and purpose in every single one of us. You have it, I have it, but just like the beginning of the story, we're always that 3 feet from goal because we forget to ask the right questions. How do I change my school? How do I change a nation? How do I change my church? Is it in prayer? Absolutely yes. But it's not every time something happens, we run back to our prayer closet and just cry about it. And I know that sounds harsh coming to a group of people who are prayer warriors, but for all people, it's coming into the closet and saying, God, what are you saying? What are you doing? What have you put in me to change this situation? See, so many times I hear people cry and whine and say, I'm waiting on God. I hate that term. And I know that's not for everybody, but there's something about that term that says, I'm just waiting on God. I know I have friends that have been waiting on God for 18 years. I want to kick them in their glory and tell them to get out and do something. What that looks like is being prayer warriors and going into our closet and say, God, what do I do about this? What gifts, what abilities have you given me to change this situation? Whether it's work, whether it's school, whether I'm a teacher, whether I'm a construction worker, whatever it is that I do, God has called me to change atmospheres. See, this isn't in my notes, but I want you guys to go back to Genesis. Think about in your notes when you write down. Go back to Genesis. What did God do? What did God tell Adam? Take dominion. Go do. I created you to have dominion over all this. That dominion looks like our family. That dominion looks like where we work. That dominion looks like the place where I serve at church. That dominion looks like everywhere that I go, I am. I am there. That is my area. That is my sphere. That is my place of dominion. That is my territory, whatever you want to call it. That is your place to show up to change the atmosphere. And it is our job to go into that place and say, God, what are you doing? It's my place to go into the closet and say, God, what do you want me to say? Is it a coworker that needs ministry today? Is it somebody, my wife does personal training, is it somebody who needs to just be trained and possibly lose weight or just needs a mental exercise? Maybe it's not even a physical. Maybe somebody just needs to talk today and needs prayer. Is it maybe that my boss is having this terrible day because he's stressed out and I'm back there in the corner and he doesn't even know it and I'm praying for revival inside of his business because he needs the finances to succeed in the very things that God has called him to do? It is our job to go forward and make a difference. The thing is so many people in the church struggle with identity. Who am I? What was I created to do? The thing is you are God's gift to the world. That is so hard because I feel like for years people in the church have said, well, humbleness is to say that I'm meek and just thank you, Lord, and not to show off your gifts and I don't want to receive accolades and things like that. That's like true humbleness to kind of hide in the corner. And I'm telling you right now, that is the biggest lie of the enemy. What the Lord has shown me is God gets the glory. When we operate in the gifts, what are they? Gifts. What is a gift? Something that somebody gives you. When I go operate in my gifting and I change the atmosphere, who gets the glory? God. Why? Because it's a gift. So many times we stand back and act like I'm supposed to just be this humble person when in fact, no, think about this. Perfect example. I don't know if the guy saved or not. I have no idea, but Usain Bolt. Okay, think about him. Why do we love to watch a man shatter records? Why are we drawn to the fact that he can run unbelievably fast, the world's fastest man? Why are we drawn to that? Why do we love to watch the Olympics? Because we're drawn to the greatness that's inside of them. That is the gift that God has given them. We're not drawn to them. We're drawn to the gift. Why do we covet things we don't want? When we see people operating, whether it's in business or ministry or those things, sometimes we get caught up in coveting. We think, oh, well, I want that. I want to have that. It's not that we want. Spiritually, what we're coveting is the fact that they're operating in the gift and the things that God's given them. What we're seeing the physical, but what we're not realizing is what we should be coveting is the spiritual, that they're fulfilling their gift and purpose in life. That's what we should covet. Not in the fact that saying, I want what they have, but say, God, I want what you have for me. See, when I start walking in my gifts and my purpose and my callings, I will change atmospheres. I will, things that I'm supposed to have, I will be walking in my purpose. The very path that God has paved for me becomes easier because that's how I was designed. So many times, I think what we do is we try to take a Mercedes emblem and we try to put it on a Volkswagen. Because we think of ourselves as a Volkswagen, but we want the Mercedes emblem when in fact, God is saying, no, I created you perfectly and wonderfully made. I've called you for a purpose. I created you specifically for such a time as this. There's a 0% chance that anybody is like you. You can't be duplicated. You can't be copied. Now, you can be cloned. There's cloning, right? But think about this. Even if they cloned you, the spirit inside of that duplicate is different. Why? The outside might look the same, but what God put on the inside is totally different. That new clone would have different gifts, different talents, different abilities. They would have a different life experience. See, the thing is it's easy to look at somebody else and say, well, they have the same gift I do. Well, that's great. But the truth is they have a different story. They have different life circumstances. They have a different influence of work. They have different friends. Everything about them is different. They might have a gift that's similar, but they are never going to reach the people that you individually can reach where you are. So think about purpose. An example is everything was created and designed for a reason. The more I've thought about this, I look at, just take a tree for example. I looked this up on Google. I know this seems really simple, but just come with me here for a minute in the thought of just a tree, okay? Something very, that we maybe don't think about every day. So a tree, it takes the excess carbon dioxide caused by many factors in the building up of our atmosphere. Trees absorb the CO2 and give us oxygen. They filter the air. They have a purpose. Everything that God designed has purpose. Take the sun, for example. It's just miraculously happens to be in the right spot so our earth can stay warm by accident. No, by purpose. The earth perfectly goes around the sun. Every planet, the amount of oxygen, every tree, just think about everything is specifically designed for purpose. Are you with me? Why are you any different? Why is it that we think that we're any different? So how much more are we created in God's eyes? How much more are we loved? Does he love creation? Yes. He created it. The trees and the animals and all those things, they all serve a purpose. Think, we were even taught in science that the animal chain all serves a purpose, that some animals eat other animals and some of the animals eat fruit and vegetables. Everything serves a purpose. Why are we any different? Every one of us serves a purpose. You know, one of the things that I struggled with, this is just my mind, maybe some of you have had these thoughts, but I remember when I first got saved, man, I was excited. Yes, I was a sinner that once was lost and now I'm found and all these things. And I'm like, okay, great. Now what? Nobody had an answer. Well, now what? Give me an answer. Why? And for some people, that drove them crazy. And they said, well, you need to quit asking why. Your job is to go out and be like the disciples and just save people. I'm like, okay, that's great. I want people to get saved, but why? Why? And the truth is the reason is we need to get saved because we need to save them into their purpose. They were created for purpose. When we step into our specific design, the reason God created us, we will change everything around us because we're operating in the exact design that God created us for. What's amazing to me is we are all individual. We have different thoughts. We have different gifts. We have different talents. All these different things. But what amazes me is collectively together, we create the body of Christ. We need to stop looking at each other as competition. We need to stop looking at each other as jealousy. We need to stop. This isn't a competition. This is, I see you for the greatness that God has put in you. I see you for what God has called in you. And when we call that forth out of each other and champion each other into what God has called each one of us individually, we will change government. We will change family. We will change the marketplace because we're operating in our gifts. Real quick, I want to take you, all of us have heard this story. You've either seen or watched or read about Superman. And the reason I love Superman is think about this. So he crashes into the panhandle, right? If you ever watch it, it looks just like the panhandle. So Superman crashes into the panhandle as a baby. He has no idea who he is. And Mama Jo and Billy Bob find him in a farm. They pick him up. And they raise him, and he starts to discover that he's got gifts. So all of a sudden, he's got super strength. So he's going around, he's lifting the tractor for his dad so his dad can work on the tractor. And then all of a sudden, he realizes he's got super speed. So then he's zipping around the farm and doing all these chores. And what would take most of us an entire day, he gets to do in an hour. And then after that, one day he discovers that if he looks at something with his eyes, he's able to shoot laser beams and he starts blowing stuff up. But what I love about the story is he finds his individual gift, and he capitalizes on it. And he says, oh, I'm good at that. I'm going to use that. Oh, I'm really fast. I can do my chores really quick. Oh, I can fly. I can get from A to Z in the blink of an eye. What he does was is he realizes that he has an individual gift and talent, and he capitalizes on it to change the market, to change what he's doing, to change the farm. Now, what I love about it is by the end, though, he has a choice. Just like all of us have this choice. Do I take my gift and my talent, and do I pursue God, and do I change the very thing that he's called me to, or do I stay on the farm and do what I've always done, what's familiar, and what I've always known? See, that's the hardest place to be, because you know something great is inside of you. You know that you're called to do something amazing, but it's unfamiliar. And now you have this choice. Do I step out into the unknown? Do I trust God like David and throw the stone? Do I do the very thing that God's calling me to, or do I stay on the farm and do what I've always done? Now, as far as I know, I don't know anybody that can fly besides Michael Jordan. I don't know anybody that has super strength besides my wife, who just broke the deadlift record at the gym. And I don't know anybody who can shoot lasers out of their eyes besides my teenage daughters. But the concept is the same. It sounds funny, but I'm serious. We're superheroes. You need to get in your mind that God put something in me that can change the world. I encourage you to go into your prayer closet and ask God, God, what did you design me to do? What did you create me to do? Where can I go make the biggest impact with the gifts and the abilities you have given me? How can I impact my family, my spouse, my children, the workplace? How can I do that? I promise you, God will give you an answer. One thing I think about is there was a time that I was broke, that I had no money. I was making a transition. And talking about how we all work together as the body of Christ. And I was at a place where I didn't know what to do. And I went to my closet and I prayed and just wept and said, God, if you don't show up in the circumstances, not am I just not going to be able to pay my bills, I'm not going to have food for my family. I mean, there's a difference between a little stressed out about I don't know how I'm going to make a bill versus I can't even, don't even know if I have money to buy food. I mean, there's just that stress level there is enormous. And I went there and I asked God and I prayed. And I spoke to my men's group about it. They knew the situation. And going back to how we co-create with God, how we partner with God, you see, the men's group, my group of friends that knew me, all collectively got together and collected thousands of dollars for me for that specific time. See, so many times we look at God like I pray and then I'm like thinking I'm going to come out of my closet and then there's going to be a bag of money sitting in my bedroom, right? Because that just makes sense. Like God's a genie or something and he just like, it just happens. But the truth is God co-creates with us. So what he did is he gathered my friends together and he set it on their heart to collectively, they all made more money in their businesses and they felt led to give me some of the money to get through the time that I needed to get through. See, what we don't realize is that God wants to partner with us to change people's lives, to change atmospheres, to change business. We get to work with God to change, to make a difference. So marketplace revival, what does that look like? Marketplace revival looks like us asking God how to change everywhere that we go. Marketplace revival is not us getting fired up and going into the workplace and just ministering Jesus. I don't want to downplay that by any means. There's not a negative. I love revival. I love church. I love all those things. But here's the thing. If that made a difference, then why has every great man before us, why has it only lasted days, weeks, or years? You cannot tell me or show me anywhere in history that a revival like Billy Graham or any of these great men of God, are they great? Absolutely. But tell me this, have they ever changed an entire generation or an entire decade of things in the workplace? I've never seen it. And I'll tell you why. Because God created you to go be great in everything that you do. And as we operate in what we're called to, we will change our families. We will change business. That is revival. I felt like the Lord showed me about 5 years ago, I was in my prayer time, and the Lord told me, he said, the church is going to change. It's going to be different than anything you've ever seen. And I really struggled with that. I said, I'm not sure what that looks like. And the Lord, this is funny because I had never heard this term. The Lord said, it's going to be a great awakening. Great awakening. What is a great awakening? So over the years, I knew that the Lord was speaking to me because I've heard other prophets now say that. I've heard other people say that there's going to be this great awakening. And what I believe is the awakening is going to be the body of Christ coming into a place and realizing that every person realizes that they were created for purpose. They were created to do something great. And they go out and impact culture. So tell me this, if somebody isn't saved and you go up to them and they're having a bad day and you just say, oh, well, you know, Jesus loves you. Well, does he love them? Absolutely. Can I be honest with you? If I wasn't saved and I was having a bad day, I'd say, I don't give a crap. I'm just being honest. That's the truth because I'm frustrated. I'm going through real life problems. I don't understand spiritual things. I don't understand church lingo. It doesn't make any sense to me. You tell me Jesus loves me, and the first thing I'm going to say, well, if he loves me, then why am I going through this? Is that not the truth? But if I can go up to a person and just happen to know that they're having a struggle and they need, say, $500, and I come up and I'm actually making the rubber hit the road and I say, I just feel like I'm supposed to help you. I know you're having a hard time. Here's $500. All of a sudden, something is totally different. I take action. People think that I care. All of a sudden, they're like, oh my gosh, God does care about me? God does love me? Now, I use the term $500. It doesn't have to be money. It could be prayer. It could be going up to somebody. There could be a woman or somebody. For you women, and most women struggle with identity or being beautiful or something like that, there's always what I feel like these cat fights per se, because there's this jealousy. What if you went up to another woman, you could tell, maybe she is a pretty lady, you know, you're beautiful. I love you. Have a good day. Same thing goes with guys. Guys have this macho ego and these things in the real world, but if you go up to them and say, man, you're just an awesome guy. I see you're great at this. If we're giving words of encouragement, all of a sudden we're breaking down barriers and people are seeing that there's something different about you. I don't know what it is. I'm not quite sure why, but there's something different. And then all of a sudden, I don't need a Jesus sticker on my car. I don't need a Jesus loves you t-shirt. And I don't need a track to give you and run because I'm scared that you might read it. So I'm going to leave it in the bathroom and hope that you find it. Right? The truth is if I'm living out who God created me to be, people are going to be drawn to that, to the greatness in me, which is Jesus Christ. And then from there, I get to minister the gospel and the true love and the things that I found. I believe more than ever that you specifically were created for such a time. God put you in this era, put you in this nation. He put you in this city or the cities that you live in to put you on display. You have greatness in you because God created you. You need to recognize that. You need to tell yourself, I am great because God is great and God is in me. You are not defined by your past. You're only defined by who created you, the very foundation of who you are. And that is our designer, our maker, our mark, is Jesus. I believe that every one of us has a gift that can change this world if you will only ask the Lord what that gift is. You were always great, and you need to realize that. I love the words by one of the all-time greatest evangelists, would be Wesley. In his comment, I want to find John Wesley. He started the Methodist movement. He says, when you set yourself on fire, people can't help but watch you burn. When you decide to jump into you and be the best you you can be, you're going to burn bright. You are going to change culture. You are going to change atmospheres. And people are going to watch you burn. And you are going to do something great. Amen. So this morning I want to, if any of you are interested, as a side note, I do a podcast every week. It's called Are You Real? So I have a website. You can go to areyoureal.com. I encourage you to get on there. Here within the next couple weeks, I'm going to be creating a sheet that will give you an outline. There's things that you need to be asking God, and this is a very brief description. We'll go more into detail on our download on our website, but it'll be, you're going to take your purpose, okay? Things that you're passionate about. You're going to take your gifts, your abilities, your skills, and the opportunity that you have you right now. When you take those three things, in one way or another, whether you see it or not right now, they all overlap. So we're going to be walking people through that. If you don't have a mission statement for your life, we're going to be helping people create those. I highly, highly encourage you, if you don't know what your mission statement is, why I exist, I encourage you to figure it out. If you're interested, we'll have that on our website. Right now, it's kind of blank. It just shows a downloadable book. But if you'll subscribe to our newsletter, I am going to send out a link here in the next couple weeks to do that. But let me tell you why. If you know your purpose, you don't want to sin. Let me tell you why. Because it's opposite of what I was created to do. So you don't take, for instance, I don't take a Porsche and I don't go take it four-wheeling. Do you not? This doesn't make any sense. I don't want to take it off the road because it's a beautiful car created specifically for speed on a flat surface. Just like I don't take my truck that has big wheels and tires and I don't go try to race a race car. It wasn't designed. So when we figure out why we were designed individually, it's really hard to go sin because then all of a sudden I know I'm outside of my purpose and outside of what I was called to be.
That's all for this episode of Are You Real? Finding the Authentic You. Be sure to go to areyoureal.org for your free questionnaire to identify your gifts and talents and how you can use them to help people become leaders and catapult them into their destiny to help others become the leaders of tomorrow. We appreciate you spending your time with us and look forward to helping you reach out and revolutionize next time on Are You Real? Finding the Authentic You.